I think they're kind of separate. Okay. No, ma'am.
I mean, like, you want a hot girl summer? I mean, don't overthink it. I don't know.
I think we can split it.
They said do something crazy. Yeah.
I mean, we only have, like, two other confessions anyway.
Harvard kids are weird. I don't know. I would do something crazy in summer, and I didn't think internship.
Oh, man. It's going to be wild. I'm going to intern at McKinsey. So cool.
Dear Harvard, we're all coming from different places, and we all need to be open to realizing that not everyone's experience is like our own.
Dear Harvard, you never know, you can totally make someone else's day and help someone else relieve that sadness too.
Dear Harvard, it's not just you. The rest of us out here are struggling just like you.
You've got mail.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to episode 8 of Dear Harvard.
Hey, we're glad to have you back. It's been a hot minute since we've had an episode, but hey, we're trying to get back on track, even as the summer approaches and the last waning days of the spring semester crush our hopes and spirits. But, you know, we're still positive about it. If you want to send in any confessions on, like, how your lives have been going, you can do so at tinyurl.com/dearharvard. We want to hear all about it, all the highs and the lows, the hopes and the sad pain as we get closer to the summer. What are your plans? I don't know. Vaccination experiences. I just got Pfizer yesterday. That was definitely, it wasn't very bad, actually. I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it. I mean, I'm going to enjoy it.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, vaccination.
Say, what lunatic enjoys a shot?
Yeah, you know.
I've enjoyed shots before. Shot.
Not that kind. But no, I'm going to enjoy the after effects. And it wasn't bad at all. Like, it was like a little pinch and that was it.
If you're capping, I'm coming for you.
I don't know. Like, you might get a crappy nurse or something who's just like, stab!
Yeah. I definitely, like, when COVID first came out and we had our tests and they were the nasal swabs, I had a horrible nurse. She took the longest cotton swab thing I have ever seen in my entire life. The force in which she shoved it up my nose should have been criminal. So I really hope that if you guys are getting your vaccines, y'all have some sweet nurses who aren't just going to stab your arm. And if you're getting COVID tests that way, I hope you have really awesome nurses that aren't just shoving freaking medical diagnostic materials up your canals.
Yeah. They don't call it a brain tickler for nothing. But in case you didn't know, somehow forgot, I'm Brandon from Chicago.
I'm Elizabeth from Houston, Texas.
And I'm Muriel from Massachusetts.
Let's crack into these confessions.
Dear Harvard, I want to be an activist, but all I seem to be doing is posting social media reminders and captions. I feel like sometimes we treat posting on social media as enough activism and call it a day. But then also, it's important to share information and spread truth over lies. What's the catch here? I think that I'm so sorry. I'm not really sorry. This sounds like performative activism and kind of feeling guilty about that, which I think is progress. This is really not a place coming from a place of judgment at all. I understand what you mean. I understand, like, the yearning to want to speak up on social issues and enact change and spread information. And I think that if you want to continue doing that in a more genuine way, then you should probably turn your concerns, and rather than looking at them as concerns, try to use them as motivation to keep going. So if you don't want to only post social media reminders and captions, then reach out to local organizations in your area and ask how you can support them, if you can donate, or, you know, if you can actually partake in the organization of different movements and different activities that your local activist might, you know, actually be holding. And maybe you can even learn from them and you know, really kind of begin to feel like an activist. I feel like you shouldn't have to feel like an activist, though. I feel like it's not something that you really put on yourself. It kind of just comes naturally. And if you're really struggling with that natural aspect of it, then it really is just, it, all that really means is that you've got to do more. You've got to do more than just, you know, post on Instagram or Snapchat when something big happens. That you have to show consistency. You have to show that you're truly aligned with what you're trying to talk about. I think in the past year, especially with a lot of Black Lives Matter movements and Stop Asian Hate movements, we've seen a lot of performative activism. And it can be really, really frustrating to experience, especially if you have experienced some of the things that you are trying to be active about, or if you have family members that are experiencing these kinds of things. It is really, really frustrating to see people who are going to post about, you know, trauma porn in between their pictures of sunsets and smiley faces on their stories and then never speak on it again and never care about it again. And I think it's really important that you are trying to figure out what you want to do and how you want to approach this. And I do encourage you to keep going because, you know, you never know who you're influencing and who you're speaking to and who your audience is and how impactful that can really be. I think if you're actually going about it genuinely, there is no catch. It's really just you allowing yourself to be a medium of information and spreading that, a medium of positivity, a medium of support. And when you're actually doing that genuinely, there really isn't a catch. So I really don't know how to answer that part of your submission.
I think Anonymous really hit the nail on the head here. There is a huge slacktivism culture at Harvard where people think that it's just enough to tweet out hashtag Stop Asian Hate. They think it's just enough to post a black box on their Instagram. And those are important things for, you know, getting visibility to like some of the more awful injustices in our society, but it's not anywhere near enough. And, you know, Harvard, everyone here is obsessed with their image, with whatever other people think of them. They want to present like the best picture to the world, whether it's real, whether it really reflects who they are, or whether it's just for, you know, looking good for future employers, looking good for when they want to run for elected office themselves. But where are these people, you know, when there are fundraisers going on? Where are these people when there are protests going on? I think the big difference between that sort of performative activism and really just being out there on the front lines, being a true activist, if there is such a meaning to the word, it just put yourself out there and actually do the work. As I think like it's good of you to be concerned of that. And I'm glad you're kind of noticing that this is something that happens all too often on Harvard's campus and, you know, virtually or in person. If you're out there and you're advancing the movement, like on the street, in the Harvard Square, and you're not just hiding behind a social media bubble, sending out a few tweets and calling it a day, then I think you are making a difference in a way that most of us aren't. So that I think is where I would draw the line.
I disagree to an extent. I think that it's possible to be on your phone making a difference and not actually being out there. Like, who are you comparing yourself to, you know? Like, who is someone who you consider to be an actual activist that you're not? Because, yeah, some people are out there with posters and whatnot. And of course, if there's a protest going out in your, like going on in your neighborhood, and you're fully capable of attending it, and you choose to stay at home and tweet hashtags only, that's a problem. But, you know, I think there's a lot of other things to consider, whether you're mentally capable to even show up and actually be there like 100%. Like, you definitely don't want to jeopardize your own safety and mental health before you go out to a protest or something, you know. Like, I know for like last summer was a lot of protests went on, And like, I definitely did pick and choose which ones I went to based off my own mental health and what COVID was looking like in my neighborhood, you know? And those are things to take into account sometimes too. And I don't know, I think it, someone like posted recently, actually, this was a conversation I had earlier, and it was like, what's worse, performative activism or no activism? And neither of us could come to a conclusion on that, because it is just like a really hard conversation, and it's just, it's confusing, it is. But I think that I have seen lots of protests that like have gone a long way, but I've also seen lots of posts and people who are loud on social media actually make differences. Like, I know from personal experience, like watching like Samira's stories about fat phobia has really taught me a lot and like made me check myself in terms of the way that I think and like my own privilege as a skinny person. And you know, there's no protest around that, there's no something that I can show up to, but I can be like, oh, I saw this on social media, and every day I'll think about my actions and why I'm thinking the things I'm thinking. So I think that sometimes, you know, posting on social media can be enough.
I think that's a really valid point. When there's something that you're passionate about, you're going to be an activist for it. And when there's something you're passionate about learning or truly care about learning, in the same sense, you're also being an activist for that same cause. Because you learning and you participating and you practicing what you're learning is furthering that movement. It's furthering inclusivity, if that's what the, I guess, the topic is pushing for, and equality. And at the end of the day, I think a lot of people kind of struggle with whether or not their actions are really having the impact that they wish or they would want them to have. And sometimes it can feel a little performative. Sometimes, you know, even if you are going out and doing X, Y, and Z for the movement or the cause, it might still feel performative. And I think that that's a good time for you to kind of reassess how you're approaching it and, you know, what you're really giving to the topics and issues that, you know, you feel are relevant. And that self-reflection can kind of like cause this inner struggle of whether or not, you know, your posting on social media is, you know, actually enacting any change versus whether there is more that you could be doing and kind of dealing with that guilt. I really, in a way, applaud you for taking the time to kind of think about this, because I think that a lot of people haven't. I know that sometimes I too am, you know, culprit of, you know, posting something and sharing something and, you know, thinking that it's going to have this big effect, or, you know, thinking that it's going to be beneficial, and then realizing later on that maybe there was a better way that I could have done it, or a different way that I could have supported that would have been a little bit more effective. And I think that that's challenging. I think it's a difficult conversation to have and a difficult thing to think about. And there is no right answer, because we are all still trying to go through what it means to be activists in our own right and about things that we care about, whether they are big or whether they are small or whether they are known or whether they aren't known. But keep going. I really, really encourage you to keep going, as long as you're not actively traumatizing the people that you are, just, you know, actively traumatizing your followers on your page. And, you know, because that in itself is a completely different thing and a different thing to tackle. But I would say continue to share information, because the people that are looking at your stories and looking at your social media, whether you know it or not, you know, like repetitive information is going to stick. If you keep throwing spaghetti at a wall, a strand of noodle is going to stick, you know? So I'd say keep going. If you can, do a little bit more in whatever way or shape or form you feel like is best. I think that that might help you feel less conflicted if you feel like you're branching out in a different way, especially if it's more physical. I know, like, with COVID and everything's online, it's kind of really easy to kind of get sucked into social media, online things, and you want to do something physical if that's really kind of what you're leaning towards. But yeah, it's really not just enough to post on social media all the time. And depending on what it is, and how active you can actually be and what state you are in, it really just depends. So yeah, this was really a thoughtful question. Like, it's kind of getting me to think too about, you know, how I'm approaching activism on things that I really feel are important to me and align with my values versus, I guess, approaching it differently, and who I'm reaching and my audience and how to go about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to say one more note. I'm definitely not knocking people who post on social media. It is one of the most important ways, especially as like the whole world goes online. One of the best ways, if not the best way, of getting attention for a movement. But at the same time, I think there are a lot of people at Harvard who can go out and do more, whether that's, you know, showing up to a protest or even just, you know, Harvard's predominantly wealthy, donating to Black Lives Matter, donating to Stop Asian Hate. A lot of people have more than the means to do that, and they choose not to, even though they're posting on social media everything like that makes them look like, oh, see, I'm a good person. And I think that they can and they should do more. Dear Harvard, summer is getting me fucked up. I feel like there's so much pressure to do something crazy over the summer, and I'm just getting rejected left and right. I can't deal with this.
I think you just gotta do what you wanna do. I think summer is like such a good opportunity to kind of just relax and rejuvenate and just take that time to yourself, especially considering we didn't really get to do that last summer with everything that was going on in the world. And like, how many opportunities are you gonna have? I feel like we're kind of like on a time crunch already. We're like, we're definitely not having as carefree summers as we used to when we were younger, but we're definitely like coming up on that time period where it's gonna be like, oh, like you're constantly like working, or we're like in the adult world where summers are just like less busy school years, kind of like there's just a nonstop grind going on. So if you can, if you have the opportunity to like have a summer where you don't need to work and you don't really like need the money, I would do something that you actually enjoy or just, you know, relax.
I wish we had more information on this, honestly, because I'm not sure like necessarily what crazy summer plans entail for Anonymous here. Like, is it like an awesome internship? Is it some kind of fun passion project? Is it just like a cool road trip, or like, I don't know, like a vacation? Probably shouldn't be going on a vacation still. I feel like generally there's a lot of pressure, especially at Harvard, to like, oh, every summer got to maximize that potential, you know, especially with like advancing your career and getting the crazy internships. I would just like not worry about it. I mean, we're first years. I don't know if Anonymous is, although I think most of our listeners are. So like, just chill, you know, do what makes you happy. Do what's not going to give you an anxiety attack after this awful, awful year. I wish I could just take a break. I'm planning on going like a cross country road trip with my friend, like just in my beat up old car. Like, we're going to go to California for like May. And then like, I do have like an internship with the Office of Financial Empowerment in St. Paul, Minnesota, but it's not like, I'm not like stressing myself to death over the summer, you know, like I've got some exciting plans that I'm really going to enjoy, but I'm also not trying to compete with everyone for the best summer ever. And I don't think that that's really a healthy mindset to have when you're supposed to be relaxing. Not that Harvard students are great at that thing, relaxing.
Honestly, this isn't Phineas and Ferb. It's not 104 days of summer vacation. You do not have to give in to this pressure of fulfilling some facade of having the greatest and bestest, most exciting, most energetic, most fun-filled, fantastic, fabulous summer. You can literally just chill. We are literally coming out of a pandemic. There's no reason why you should be pressured to do anything you really don't want to do during your summer vacation. I do understand like this FOMO. I think like Harvard culture is really, really good at perpetuating that, whether it's in terms of academics, opportunities, fun in terms of like, I guess, recreational activities and leisurely things. I get it. And I think it's really hard sometimes to like not give in to that and to not feel like you're being left out or that you're falling behind. But I really do, I might have to just be, you know, the auntie for you. Like, you've got to just chill. You just gotta let live. It I'm telling you, the moon of this year, of this, it is what it is. If you're listening to it, say it with me. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. You've just got to you've just got to accept what comes to you. If you're getting rejected in terms of internships, what is for you will come to you. If, you know, a research position or an internship or a business is not the right fit for you, then it's okay that you didn't get it. If you're talking about rejection in terms of people, same thing applies. The people that are for you will come to you and it'll work right off the bat. So I really hope that you don't feel left out or ostracized or feel bad about having a bad summer, because the summer is not even here yet. You don't even know if it's going to be the best summer of your life or not. You know, a lot of things change. Life is unpredictable. I don't think you should stress about it right now. But I also understand that that's easier said than done. So I really just wish you all the best of summers. I really hope you're able to enjoy it, however it is. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing about the rejection is I definitely wouldn't beat yourself up over it. I mean, we're already at the most competitive school. So if it's like talking about internships, then obviously, you know, you're like competing with the best of the best. And if it's about friends, I mean, okay, I don't know if I'd say same here, because I feel like Harvard is not like top 1% in social skills, at least not when you're, well, not when it comes to me, but like, I don't know. And if you do feel too like really bummed out about, say, missing out on this internship, there's this really cool proverb, this Chinese proverb that a friend of mine turned me onto that I feel like is really insightful when it comes to this stuff. It's called Cy Wang Lost His Horse. Basically, Cy Wang raised horses for a living. One day he lost one of his prized horses. After hearing of the misfortune, his neighbor felt sorry for him and came to comfort him. But Cy Wang simply asked, "How could we know it is not a good thing for me?" After a while, the lost horse returned and with another beautiful horse, like a prized stallion. The neighbor came over again and congratulated Cy Wang on his good fortune. But Cy Wang simply asked, "How could we know it's not a bad thing for me?" One day, his son went out for a ride with the new horse. He was violently thrown from the horse and broke his leg. The neighbors once again expressed their condolences to Cy Wang, but Cy Wang simply said, "How could we know it's not a good thing for me?" 1 year later, the emperor's army arrived at the village to recruit all able-bodied men to fight in the war, but because of his injury, Cy Wang's son could not go off to war and was spared from certain death. So I guess the idea is that, like, maybe missing out on an opportunity for like an internship may seem like the worst thing in the world, but we don't know. How do you know that it's not a good thing? How do you know that this like won't pave the way to your great success?
I like that. Yeah,
I like that a lot.
I mean, like, sometimes it may seem like naive. It's definitely harder to put into practice, but like, you just never know. And honestly, like, I feel like if we like reflect on things, like with the hindsight bias that we have now, there are many moments in life that seem to like be the end all be all. And then you're like, oh, well, that led me to where I am today. And where I am today isn't that bad.
I'll give you a personal example. So when I was a freshman in high school, I actually tore my ACL. It stopped me from playing volleyball. I thought I was, you know, never going to survive. Just the embarrassment alone, let alone all of the different things that came with an injury. And it sucked. And it was really hard. And I thought it was going to be the worst thing that ever happened to me. But it, in fact, became the very thing. Obviously, not the very thing that got me to Harvard, but the lessons that I learned from really being incapacitated, the resilience, the strength, the courage that I gained as a result of it are principles and values that I held near and dear, and that got me into Harvard. Does that make sense? And that actually happened. We're still really in this if scenario where summer hasn't happened yet, and it could, honestly, you'd be surprised. It could be the very best summer you've had in the years of your life. I have no idea how old you are.
Maybe like because you didn't take some certain internship that would have kept you really busy, now you'll meet the love of your life.
Yeah. You really never know. I think it's really just good to stay open, stay positive, as hard as that might be sometimes, and I guess lean into the chance of it all. Lean into the uncomfortability, if that's a word.
Dear Harvard, I feel so guilty whenever there's good weather at Harvard. I mean, I feel like I'm pressured to be outside and all that, but I have work and I'm in my dorm and I feel so bad like I'm wasting this weather.
Didn't we have someone like a few episodes ago where they were like, oh, now that it's nice out, I have my friends are asking me to spend time with them and I'm not about it. I feel like this is like along a similar vein. Like, you're not responsible for other people's FOMO on your behalf, or like just tell them, hey, listen, it's the last month of the semester. And spoiler alert, the workload sucks. It's hellish and we're dying inside. And yes, it might be fun to go outside for a quick walk, for like mental health, like a little break. We got wellness days, although I don't know if I feel too well on them. It's not going to be great for my grades or my assignment completion to go outside every day. It's above 60. Look, it's been beautiful out. I want to enjoy it just as much as everyone else, but I also want to pass first freshman year. So I don't know. I mean, it's definitely a dilemma, and I don't think you should. The right answer is definitely not, you know, hide in your dorm the entire time and like force yourself onto the computer, because that's just going to burn you out even more. Like, get outside, have a little relaxation, but don't let your friends, you know, force you to not do your homework. Or, well, force is maybe a strong word, because it's more like enable you, at least in my experience.
Yeah, I definitely get what Anonymous is going through. It is kind of bittersweet to see the sun out, because sometimes you want to go out and frolic and skip around and, you know, hang out with friends. But at the back of your mind, you know that you've got a piece to do or an essay or a project. And it's really hard to kind of balance enjoyment along with productivity. And it's been cold for so long that you kind of like want to just enjoy the sun and feel it on your skin. And especially if you've been in the Boston area, or if you've been on campus for the semester. But at the same time, I think that there's definitely things that you can do so that you don't feel like you're wasting the wonderful weather. I personally like to take walks every day, whether that just means walking to Annenberg and coming back, or whether it's kind of more intentional, taking a lap around the square or even walking miles down the Charles River, just because I want to feel like I'm a human being that is actually living rather than a robot that a lot of Harvard students can become if they just sit in their room and do work all day long. And it's been really nice for my mental health. And I don't necessarily feel inclined all the time to do it with people. Sometimes it's good to just kind of enjoy the sun and enjoy the weather on your own. But you can bring friends if, you know, that feels better. Yeah, don't feel bad if you have to stay inside, because at the end of the day, you're a student at Harvard University. That statement alone means that, you know, you're going to be doing a lot of work, and you've got to learn how to prioritize and figure out what's going to be the most important thing for you to do in that moment, whether that is going out and enjoying the weather, even if it's just for 5 minutes, even if it's just like sticking your arm out of the shadows and getting a little glimpse of the sunlight, or whether that's, you know, being in your room and doing some homework. I highly suggest, if you have windows in your room, I highly suggest opening your windows. The amount of serotonin that you get immediately just from having that rush of light enter your room is really nice. And unfortunately, if you do not have windows in your room, then I would suggest going to like the Smith Center, where you can kind of see the outside while still being productive and being able to do work. It's also a change of scenery, so you don't have to feel cooped up in your room.
If you don't have windows in your room, make windows in your room.
If you don't have windows, you can also make windows. You know, I don't know with what, but these walls are paper thin, so I'm sure that if you punch hard enough or you hit it hard enough with something, you can make a window. You could probably use a spoon to claw at the walls and make a window.
Ooh, go full Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. You've really just got to find a balance and be intentional about figuring out a way to, you know, do things that make you happy, whether you feel happier doing the work or whether you feel, well, maybe not happier, because work is, I don't know who feels happy doing work, but if it's more if it gives you more satisfaction to do the work than to take a break outside and go out with friends.
Based on like, I don't know, like, Anon seems like to not really, like, want to go out. I don't, you know, like, I guess just, like, don't feel pressured by what other people are doing to have to go outdoors. But, like Liz and Brandon said, I definitely think it's, like, a healthy thing to do just in terms of, you know, going outside, feeling the sunlight.
Unless you're a vampire. That'd be very unhealthy.
Get your vitamin D up because it does play a role in your mood. You never know. Just like even a 5-minute walk could really improve your mental health and how your day's going.
Alrighty, so we are getting into the very last confession of this episode. I do want to say a trigger warning because this confession does deal with body image, but we're going to get into it because I think this is a really relevant concern. It says, Dear Harvard, I'm gaining a lot of weight this semester. I know it's good to accept your body, but I feel so bad and gross.
I think that this is a heavy conversation that we may not be the best. We're definitely not licensed experts on this topic, you know.
This is your standard disclaimer to please, if you're having like serious issues regarding this, talk to CAMS. Okay, we aren't CAMS. We're not a good substitute. I mean, I don't think I am. But you know, we're here to share our experiences maybe with issues right. like this.
And we have no
CAMS are a trusted adult.
Yes. Like, we have no idea what this person's going through, or like whether you're someone struggling with body dysmorphia or some sort of like eating disorder, etc., etc. So definitely do not take whatever is said by us as sort of like professional advice. That is a disclaimer. I guess like my initial thought about this, like I said earlier, I have been being enlightened by Instagram stories addressing fat phobia and whatnot. And I think it can really change your perspective on how you view yourself, or why are we, attributing weight gain to feeling gross and ugly, you know? Like, why does that make you any less beautiful than you were before? And if you wouldn't look at a friend or tell someone who you love dearly in your life that they are getting uglier or grosser because of their weight gain, then don't say it to yourself. You know, think of how you would talk to your friends and apply that to your life and be a little more kinder to yourself, because you're certainly not any less beautiful or any less, I don't know what the opposite of not gross would be, just because you're gaining a little bit of weight.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a lot to unpack here. I mean, just like Muriel just said, I think you should probably try practicing more self-love in terms of, like, I mean, there's a lot of strategies. I've struggled with this in the past in terms of, like, maybe that self-affirmation, even if it's just looking in the mirror saying, oh, I love you. Like, I know it sounds kind of stupid or cheesy, but it really does help. And kind of, you need to treat yourself like you would treat the people in your life that you care about, because, you know, who else is going to take care of you? You have to take care of yourself. And I feel like there's also a lot of internalization of maybe these societal standards that aren't very healthy. I mean, you know, we all have very unhealthy images, I would say, of like the ideal body type, which is like propagated by Hollywood, that is not realistic or reasonable and isn't something that we should strive for, because it's like, I've like seen on Instagram stories, like Rob McElhenney, you know, he got like super fit and he's like, oh, it's a super reasonable lifestyle. He was like being sarcastic, like, oh yeah, just don't eat anything at all and get the personal trainer for Magic Mike and et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's obviously not something that we should really strive for, because it is not healthy, and it just isn't something that like somebody who isn't enormously wealthy and have like and all their free time in the world to really dedicate their life toward. I do think there is room for if this like something you really want, if you, not because other people are saying things and not because you like have an unhealthy perception of yourself, but if you want to make changes to like, I don't know, diet or working out, like those are things that can create a positive impact in people's life. I don't think that you shouldn't shame yourself and you shouldn't shame other people. But, you know, that's like, it's something you might want to think about in terms of like evaluating what changes I might want to make to feel better. But also, I don't think that your self feelings should be that closely tied to your weight. I mean, that isn't what's important, because you're you and you matter and you are probably an amazing person. But I don't know, like, you should just gauge what works for you and what you want to change or not change in your life, whether that's your, like, what you do or like how you think or how you perceive yourself.
I think this is a really relatable thing. I want to say that you should, just like Muriel said, I really want to echo that you should be a little bit easier on yourself. Weight gain does not make you gross. It does not make you ugly. It does not make you any less worthy, any less loved, any less beautiful, any less talented, any less incredible than you already are. But I do understand that it can be difficult to see like changes in your life and in terms of maybe how you look at yourself or how you feel about your body. I know it's something that I've definitely struggled with and I'm still currently struggle with. And it can be really difficult to kind of go look in the mirror and, you know, say those words of affirmation that I am not, you know, any less intelligent or any less beautiful or any less worthy, talented, incredible than I was before I added weight or, you know, before X, Y, and Z changed. And I do think that if you can speak to a trusted person, whether that's a friend, a counselor, a therapist, a parent, an adult, an advisor about this, just to kind of get some more support on it, then you might want to do that. And I know that in anything, like as you are, I guess, coming to terms with the changes in your body and, you know, what's going on and possibly trying to work out or change your diet, that you're doing so not to become, I guess, thinner or for the physical aspects, like the what's it called? What you would actually see, but you're doing so to become stronger. I think that that's something that I tell myself all the time when I work out. I'm not doing so to become skinnier. Muriel tells me this all the time too. Don't work out to become skinnier, work out to become stronger. Because that your motivating factor is everything when you find yourself in situations like this. It's so important that you are able to find the good things in yourself and want change, not for some societal thing or not for some imposed pressure that you might have felt from someone or something, or even if it's a combination of different things, but you're doing so for yourself, because that's really going to determine whether or not you approach whatever it is that you do in a healthy manner and in a sustainable, you know, manner as well. So, and in a way that's not going to hurt you more than it helps you. So I would really encourage you to show yourself some love, give yourself some care, because baby, we are in a pandemic. And if you're not going to be a little bit nicer to yourself now, then when are you going to be a little bit nicer to yourself? So love on the extra, you know, curves, on the extra rolls, love on the extra, whatever, because whatever it is that you are, food is amazing. So if you're eating good, enjoy, because we wish we were eating good. So just be able to find the good things in every single aspect of it. I think once you really start to pinpoint and target all the negative things, it gets really overwhelming and it's easy to really get down about it and feel gross about it or, you know, feel less worthy because of it. And that's definitely not something that you should be going through. So yeah, love on yourself, because if you're not going to do it, who is? You're not gross. You're not, there's no reason to feel bad. There really isn't. I promise you.
Yeah, that seems like a great note to end on. I think this went a little longer than any of us thought it would, but no, I think we got to a lot of really cool emotional and like cathartic places on all of this stuff. Like I kind of forgot just how deep some of the issues at our school can go, like in terms of like just how we were dealing with stuff, especially as the summer approaches, as we're still in the grips of the pandemic. It's been rough. and it's probably going to stay rough for a little while, but we'll make it out of it, and you know, we'll still be here. Thank you everybody for listening, you know, and definitely we want to hear all your confessions about the crazy summer ahead or the calm, relaxed summer ahead. That's what I'm shooting for. So, I mean, if you want to send those in at tinyurl.com/dearharvard. We also, I know we've had like put ups in the past, like for May May. So if you have anyone you want to do a shout out to, send that in too. Or if you want to send in a voice confession, we also have that. We're really trying to, you know, reach you however we can and hear. We want to engage with you all and like hear what's going on in your lives as you kind of hear what's going on in ours. I don't know if there was anything else really. Until next time, that's Brandon,
Elizabeth,
and Muriel.
Have a wonderful week, y'all.
Love yourselves, guys. You got this.